As Laura mentioned earlier, we're looking at a series about our values, and we start with Christ-centered. So it's stage PC, and then I'll do the rest. Thanks, Justin. We're looking at being a Christ-centered church. It's part of a series. We're looking at the values of being Christ-centered, Bible-based, prayerful, welcoming, compassionate, and outward-looking. And you'll see that Christ-centered is at the top. So you will know that this is the first in the series. And then you'll be looking at me and saying, but last week we had Bible-based. And just blame Andy. Because he was ill, we had to move some things around. I'm also preaching in place of Andy this week. So there's various things that we've had to do to move things around. But this is the first, and the makes a logical sense to say if we're going to be a Christ-centered church, that maybe that's the thing that we'd put at the top of our list. What does it mean to be Christ-centered? Well, Christ is our historical foundation. Jesus Christ was the founder. He's the one who said, I will build my church. And those of you who are sitting downstairs on the left-hand side, you'll see a banner that shows a representation of this church, and it says, I will build my church, the words of Jesus. But there's more, because if he was only somebody who 2,000 years ago started the church, we might say, things have moved on, you know, and Jesus would only become some sort of small part of our church. I read a story on the internet by the pastor of the church where Chris Tomlin goes. Now, Chris Tomlin, if you don't know, is somebody who's written songs, Christian songs, which are used around the world. We use them in this church. This afternoon, the music group will be learning another of his songs. And this pastor was in his office, and the phone rang, and somebody said, is Chris Tomlin going to be leading the worship this coming Sunday at your church? Well, he was the pastor, and he wanted to have a Christ-centered church. And so their notice sheet and their website and everything didn't actually say who was preaching or who was leading worship. And so somebody rang up and said, is Chris Tomlin going to be there this week? And the pastor said, well, as it happens, he's not going to be here this Sunday, but Jesus will be. Are you coming? There's more. Christ is our historical foundation. Christ's teaching is important today. The things that he said, that he taught about, the illustrations he gave, the challenges in what he said. But there's more even than that, because as Jesus himself said, it's not those who hear my teaching, but those who put it into practice. And I was speaking a couple of weeks ago about Jesus' story of the two builders. The man who built his house on the rock, he's the one who did. He did more than listen, he put it into practice. And the one who just put his foundation on the soil. Well, on Friday this week, I saw a van. And I thought, I wish I'd seen that van before I preached about the two builders. Because it made me think about the foolish builder. The one who just put his foundations on the soil. I saw this van and it said, Hope and Clay Constructions Limited. Now, these people built the curve. So they do actually know what they're doing. But I thought, what a wonderful illustration of the man who built his house on the clay and hoped that that would be enough. A hope and clay construction. But there's more to Jesus and his teaching and us trying to put the teaching into practice, because Jesus himself was putting things into practice. Jesus himself was our example. So Christ is our historical foundation. Christ's teaching is important. Christ's example is an inspiration to us. But there's more to being a Christ-centered. Because Jesus didn't just come and teach and do things that are an example to us. Jesus died for us. Died for us on the cross. His death and resurrection save us. He died for us. It's the way that we start our Christian life, by accepting the gift. The gift that he's paid for with his sacrificial death. We put our faith in what he did. But there's more to being Christ-centered, because it's not just how we start our Christian life, it's how we go on with our Christian life. We have an ongoing relationship with Jesus Christ throughout all our Christian life. As the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:9, we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. His verse there, you know, I can't make up my mind what's better, to be alive or to be dead, because if I'm dead, I'm with Christ. But if I'm alive, then I can please him, I can do things. And in the church that I went to as a teenager, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 9 was the motto of the church football team. We make it our goal, whether we're at home or away, to please him. But there's more, even more than that. Because ultimately, being Christ-centered means that our whole life is Christ. It's for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. It's more than having a status of being in a relationship. It's the relationship. We thought about earlier, Laura put up a thing of the solar system and said, what are we revolving around? It's the relationship. The whole of the solar system depends on the sun at the center. The defining relationship. What does it mean to be Christ-centered? It means he's our foundation. His teaching is important. His inspiration is important. His death and resurrection save us. That we have an ongoing life where we're aiming to please him, and Christ ultimately is our life. If we have a look at Colossians, I would love it if you would take away from this morning, I must really read Colossians. Colossians is only 4 chapters long, so if you could squeeze it into this week, I'm sure God would bless you as you read through the book of Colossians. I'm just going to refer to a few verses out of Colossians that help us understand about being Christ-centered. And that thing about Christ is our life is out of Colossians. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And that's in chapter 3 and verse 4. In Christ, you have been brought to fullness. That's in Colossians 2. Verse 10. Before, there were shadows, things that pointed to Christ, things that were the former things. There were things to do and things that were in the Bible that said, you know, remember to do this, have this feast, do this, do that. But the reality, says Colossians 2, verse 17, the reality is found in Christ. When we teach, when we have an example, when we think about marriage, we think about marriage because of Christ's love for the church. When we think about generosity, we think about Christ being generous. When we think about forgiveness, we think about Christ's forgiveness. Christ forgave us. When we think about hospitality, we think about Christ has welcomed us, and we should accept one another and welcome one another because he has done that. We care for the orphan, the widow, the refugee, the poor, because of our identity in Christ. And John Stott wrote a book which he's put some stuff into words much better than I could. I'd just like to read a little bit out of it. Union with Christ is indispensable to our Christian identity. That is, nobody is a Christian without it. It's an extraordinary fact that people still debate, what does it mean to be a Christian? After 2,000 years, surely we shouldn't be arguing about what is a Christian, yet we do. The different church traditions place their emphasis at different points. The Catholic and Orthodox traditions stress baptized membership of the historic church. The Protestants emphasize believing in the gospel. The Pentecostals make much of the power of the Holy Spirit. Others in the liberal tradition see Jesus as essentially the man for others and regard works of Christian compassion together with the quest for social justice as characteristic of his authentic followers. I am not suggesting any of these are mistaken. I am not suggesting any of these is mistaken. On the contrary, baptism and church membership, the word of God and faith, the gift of the Spirit and good works of love, all these are essential features of a genuinely Christian life. Yet the New Testament definition of a Christian is a person in Christ. It's necessary to insist, therefore, that according to Jesus and his apostles, to be a Christian is not just to have been baptized, to belong to the church, to receive Holy Communion, to believe in the doctrines of the creed or try and follow the standards of the Sermon on the Mount. Baptism and Holy Communion, church membership, creed and conduct are all part and parcel of living as a Christian, but they can form and sometimes have formed an empty basket from which the jewel has disappeared. The jewel is Jesus Christ himself. To be a Christian is primarily to live in union with Jesus Christ, as a result of which baptism, belief, and behavior slot naturally into place. In Christ. And you might think, well, why don't we say we should be God-centered? Or why don't we say we should be Holy Spirit-centered? Why do we say it's Christ-centered? Because Jesus Christ is the only way to God. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight. If it was a God-centered church, well, you know there's lots of people in the world who think that they can find their way to God some other way. So we say we want to be Christ-centered because we find our way to God only through Jesus Christ. Some people will say, I'm not really religious, but I'm just spiritual. And if we said we were a Holy Spirit-centered church, they would say, oh, well, yes, I'm on the same page as you. But no, we want to insist. Jesus Christ is the only way to God. We are a Christ-centered church. Colossians 1, verse 18 says, he, Christ, is the head of the body, the church, the head from whom the whole body grows as God causes it to grow. Chapter 2, verse 19. Make no mistake about it. Being connected to Christ, the head, is not something that we are to practice as a last resort. Too often we think, I'll do whatever I can. I'll use my intellect, my gifts, my abilities. And then if that kind of runs out, then I'll rely on the Lord when I can't do any more. This is foolish thinking at best. Our human ideas and philosophies cannot fill one fragment of God's work. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus. Without me, you can do nothing. John 15, verse 5. Is this a reality? Is Jesus Christ truly the head of our church, or is someone else? Does the structure of our church allow Jesus Christ to lead and direct his people, his body, or does it prevent that from happening? Christ-centered. Christ is our energy. The energy Christ so powerfully works in me, Paul writes in Colossians 1:29. Not our own strength, not even a supplement for our own strength. To be a Christ-centered church, we need to do everything in his strength. And maturity in Christ is our goal. He is the one we proclaim, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. Chapter 1, verse 28. He talks about bearing fruit in every good work. Chapter 1, verse 10. That's what we're aiming for if we are a Christ-centered church. Christ is our unity. Here, there is no Jew or Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. I don't know about you, I had to look up Scythian. Who were the Scythians? Apparently, there were like people, the Greeks and the posh people, basically. They said, we're the posh people, we're the Hebrews, we're civilized. And then there's barbarians. And then there's barbarian barbarians. They really are the Scythians. They are weird people. And you can look them up on the internet, you'll find that they were very warlike. They were a bit different from everybody else. Apparently they're very clever. They could fire arrows while facing backwards on a horse. But they were also, yeah, they had some bad habits. Here, there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. I don't know who you think is a Scythian, but in Christ we are united. It doesn't matter where we come from, Christ is all. If somebody is in Christ, they are my brother and sister, whether they're a Scythian or not. Christ is our message. We proclaim the mystery of Christ. Paul said, please pray for me and for the people working with me. We want to proclaim the mystery of Christ. We want to proclaim it. We want to tell people about it. And in chapter 3, verse 16, he says, let the message of Christ dwell in you richly. Dwell in you. It's a lovely verse, 3:16. It's like John 3:16. It's one of the 3:16s in the Bible. Let the word of Christ, the message of Christ, dwell among you richly as you speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, giving thanks to God. That's what being Christ-centered church is, that we have his word in us, and we have it in the pulpit, and we have it when we do a Bible reading, and we have it in our songs and hymns and spiritual songs. We have it in new songs and old songs. Christ is the one we serve. Colossians 3, verse 24, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. And I found this wonderful picture of a sculpture that somebody has done. And you need to look very carefully at his hand. I don't know if you can see it on the screen, if it's big enough, but it's a representation that when we help somebody in need, we are helping Christ. If we're a Christ-centered church, the reason that we serve others is because serving others is serving Christ. Christ in us. Christ is in us, the hope of glory, it says in verse 27 of chapter 1. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We want to be a Christ-centered church. We want to have Christ in us. The Bible has two things it says. It says we need to be in Christ and we need to have Christ in us. And it's like, can't decide which way to say it, but, you know, us and Christ are, you know, we're like that. Christ in you, the hope of glory, the treasure in jars of clay. And do you know what? I thought of that van again. But I thought of it for a different reason. Because if we are a Christ-centered church, we're a church of earthly clay on the outside, but we have Christ, the hope of glory, on the inside. The church of Christ is a hope and clay construction. Amen.